1 Corinthians chapter 4, and what we're going to talk about tonight is the seven mysteries of the Bible. Seven mysteries. Now, when you say, you might look at me and say, there are only seven? I know there's a lot of different mysteries, a lot of different unanswered questions in the Bible, and there are more than seven. But in the Bible, there's actually seven times in the Pauline epistles and some of the other books that actually mentioned this is a mystery, or let me show you a mystery, or whatever. So that's what we're talking about. And there's actually seven of them. I don't know if we'll get all of them tonight, but I think you'll find them interesting, I hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number, look at verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, let me pause and say this. No matter if you're a woman, no matter if you're a man, boy or girl, don't make any difference. If you're saved, we're all ministers of Christ. That doesn't mean that everybody gets up there and preaches and all that kind of thing. And we're talking about that. But if you're saved, everybody is a minister of Christ. When you run into somebody on the street corner and you start talking to them about the Lord, what are you doing with them? Ministering to them. You're praying with people at the funeral home. Hey, I'm praying for you. Put your arm around and pray. It don't matter if you're a woman, boy, girl, man, whatever. You're ministering to them. It may not be in a capacity of like what I'm doing tonight, teaching or preaching on Sunday or whatever. I'm not talking about that. Just ministering to people. So everybody that's saved is a minister of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, if you don't know what a steward is, many of you that's ever taken those cruises, and even in the old days, even in the Bible days, on those cruise ships, a steward is a person that you gave important stuff to, valuable stuff to keep for you until you got ready to get it back and leave, or those guys on the cruise ship, they come around and clean the room, this, that, and the other. They're called stewards. Well, we, as saved people, are stewards of the mysteries of God. What does that mean? We're keepers. You ever heard this? We really don't own anything. God owns it all. He just lets us be stewards of what he has. And in one of these days, I'm hoping when we get before God, I can present it back to him, and it'll be as much or more than what he gave and intended for me to have. So a steward is somebody you take care of something and give it back to you. So we as Christian people ought to be stewards of the mysteries of God. All right, look at verse number 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A man be found faithful in his stewardship. Okay? So, verse 1 tells us, mysteries of God, we are to be good stewards of that. All right. So, if that's the case, and we are to be ministers of Christ, which we are, and we're supposed to be good stewards of the mysteries of God, then don't you think we ought to find out what the mysteries of God are that we are to be good stewards of? You'd be surprised at the people that have no idea, maybe have never heard of the mysteries or what we are responsible for knowing, what we're responsible for teaching, and all that kind of thing. So, and I would say this, I would say America would not be in the mess and the shape that it's in right now if more preachers would preach these mysteries of God that I'm going to show you tonight. And we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in and the shape that we're in tonight. Now, here's the first one. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. That is in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter number 3, and this is the first one. And 1 Timothy chapter 3. I know I've got it on the screen for you, those of you listening at home, but I want to find it myself. 3:16. Here's a great 3:16 in the Bible. A lot of good 3:16s. Here's one of them. One of my favorites. Verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. There it is. The mystery of godliness. What is it? God was manifest in the flesh. You see that? God was manifest in the flesh. So what is the first mystery of God? The first mystery of God is that God came to this world manifest in the flesh. What we call the mystery of incarnation. Now you say, man, preacher, I've heard all of that and the virgin birth. Hey, if you do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, now listen, you cannot be saved. How could you be saved trusting in a man that was born like I was? How could you be saved if you're trusting in a man, a woman, boy, girl, that were born just like the rest of us are? The reason you and I are born into a fallen race is because we were born after Mama and Papa Adam. Sin was passed down from the man. That's why when you go to child support court, worked that thing many, many years, and this guy, he would say, that ain't my baby, Judge. That ain't my baby. They'd say, well, we're going to give you a blood test. Why? Because the baby gets his blood from the father. Do a blood test. So the mystery of the incarnation is the first one, God manifest in the flesh. You say, what's a mystery? Something you can't explain. You can't explain it. Why in the world would a God leave a perfect heaven to come to a sinful earth and robe himself in flesh to come down here and save me? Can you explain it? I can't. Don't understand it. It's a mystery. You ever thought about this? Jesus was born by a virgin woman without a man involved. Can you explain that? How did it happen? Don't know. It's a mystery. I mean, you know sort of how it happened. The Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says, overshadowed Mary. And she said, what is conceived in me is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph was not Jesus's real father. If he was, we're all in bad shape. You ever thought about this? I'll give you one better than that. You know how Adam got here? Adam got here without a mama or a daddy. Now figure that one out. Eve got here without a woman from a man. Talk about a mystery. And the mystery of incarnation is God came to this world, robed himself in flesh without a man involved, and just by way of trying to explain this very quickly, because we normally do it around Christmas time, but the blood passes from the man to the child, and that's how everybody, you say, can you prove that? Well, sure. Romans 5:12, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know what that Bible says? Wherefore is by one man sin in the world. Ladies, don't get mad at me, but Eve's the one that sinned first, right? But who passed the sin on to every person? The man. Wherefore is by one man sin in the world. I thought Eve sinned first. She don't pass sin down. That man did. So if God is going to come to this world and to save mankind, the only way he's going to do it is have to come through a woman. Was Mary a sinner? Well, sure. Just like the rest of us. But there was no blood that passed from her to him. And the seed came from the Holy Ghost, so Jesus could be born sinless and die for the sins of the whole world. That is a mystery of the incarnation. God manifests in the flesh. Now, that's the first one. Now, let me give you another one. Let me see if I got this verse down. Look at this one. Just think about it for a minute. This is Luke 2:52. And Jesus, watch, increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, let me ask y'all a question. Was Jesus God? Then how can God increase in wisdom and stature? You ever thought about that? Talking about a mystery. Why? Jesus was 100% man, just like we are, but 100% God. That's how Jesus could fall asleep in the bottom of a boat, because he was tired, because he was human. But then when the storm came, he could walk to the veil of the ship, say, "Peace, be still," and all the winds and the waves obey him. Why? Because he's God. Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus and cries because his friend is dead. Why? Because he's human. And then says, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus comes forth. Why? Because he's God. You see? The incarnation of God, you can't hardly explain it. It's wild. It's a mystery. The mystery of the incarnation. Now, let me give you, we could go on and on with this one, and I don't want to labor the fact, but over there in John 1, I've quoted it many, many times. You probably know it yourself. "In the beginning was the Word." Word is capitalized. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made." You know what verse 14 says? Verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh." Now, I ain't got time to teach this because we'll be here the rest of the night. The Word, okay, get this, ready? Jesus, God, became flesh and dwelt among us. 1 Timothy 3:16, the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, right? John 1 says, the Word was made flesh. That means Jesus and the Word is the same thing. So it is very important. This book is not just any ordinary book. This book became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the walking Word when he walked on this earth. We have the written Word in our laps. Man, you could go 100 miles in any direction on that. Anyway, all right, let's look at the second one. The second one is found in Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Here's another mystery you might find interesting. Not only God manifests in the flesh, the mystery of incarnation, but look at Colossians chapter 1 and look at verse number 27. Verse number 27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is," here's the mystery, "which is," what? "Christ in you," the hope of glory. Now, you may not be getting, how can you explain that Christ not only come to this world robed in flesh because he wanted to die for the sins of the whole world, but then after I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, he wants to live in here. Explain that. It's a mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when you get saved, guess what? Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, is not Casper the Friendly Ghost just flying around with a sheet over his head. The Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, when I got saved, I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart. Guess what? He lives in me. That is a mystery. It's a mystery what Colossians 1:27 says, the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, y'all see this fellow right here? That fellow right there was me before I got saved. Empty on the inside. Dark, void, emptiness on the inside. Didn't care about the things of God, all that kind of thing. Empty right there. But then, when I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart and save me, guess what? Jesus came from heaven. And here he says, okay, I'm going to move in and live inside of you. Now, let me say this. There's only one throne inside your heart. Only one. And there's two people that have access to it. You and Jesus Christ. We have to live together. You remember the Sunday I preached on the tabernacle. Ye are the temple of God. And I said, whatever you do out there, he's with you. Whatever you listen to out there, he's with you. Whatever you watch out there, he's with you. Well, there he is. Inside, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, there's only one throne in here, and one of these two, either me or Christ, is sitting on that throne. Either I'm controlling my own life, or I'm allowing him to control my life. Only two ways about it. Either he's controlling, or I'm controlling. And a lot of times, I like to control. Let's just be honest. We like to control our own life. Billy Graham's wife, she said, boy, I'm glad that Jesus didn't answer all of my prayers. Can we not look back and say, man, I'm glad you didn't answer my prayer on that one. I'd have missed that one big time. Because if we allow him to sit on the throne, he controls, he says wait, he says go, he says stop, he says whoa. He controls the whole thing. That's tough to do because all of us within ourselves, we like to control stuff, right? Sure, you know? So there he is. Now, let me tell you something I'll wait and give you that one here in a minute. But Christ in you, and when you ever grasp that Christ even wants to live with me, now, maybe you're a whole lot better than me, probably are, but that Christ would even want to live with me is a mystery. That he would even want to come to this world and die for the sins of the world is a mystery. That he would even want to save me and then live inside of me is a mystery. It's hard to explain. Now, let's look at this other one. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians, you're in Colossians. If you'll go to the right, excuse me, left. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at this other mystery. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look. Let's look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. Now, I don't have it up on the... I've got part of the verse. I've got verse 32 or something up there. The actual... What I've got on the screen, if you're there listening at home, I've got the actual verse that contains the word mystery. We'll get to it in just a second. Look at verse... we got to read verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. All right? Verse 22. Don't worry. We're not going to linger here very long. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And that's all. Let's move on. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the what? The church. And he is the savior of the body. Now, how many of you women would love to have a man that loved you like Christ loved the church? That's what he's talking about. Now, some of you are scared to say amen. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Now, you'll get what we're talking about here. People take these verses and they make them say, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you believe a woman's supposed to walk 2 foot behind and all that. That's not what these verses are talking about. Submitting yourselves, that's not what it's talking about at all. Let me give you a quick crash course on submitting. I will. You come to a four-way stop. A four-way stop. I'm not talking about a red light, green light thing. I'm talking about a blinking red light. So you have to come to a complete stop. And whoever comes to a complete stop first gets to go, right? So what happens if two cars get there to a complete stop at the same time? Somebody's going to have to submit. So if you're really feeling good one day, you get there and you're not in a hurry and you're like, and you ease out and they ease out too. You're like, oh, you're submitting one to another. Is that not what we do with husband and wife? We're supposed to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. That's what verse 21 says. Unless you're getting ready to go eat somewhere. Where you want to go eat? Oh, I don't care. All right, let's go to McDonald's. I don't want to go there. You said you didn't care. Then you wind up into a big fight, right? That's what he's talking about. All right. Look, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, cleanse it, but wash it in the water by the word, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. What is it? Verse 32. This is a great what? Mystery. But I speak Christ, concerning Christ and the church. Here's a mystery for you. Did you know if your husband and wife in the room right now, your husband and wife in the room right now, you are two people, but you're one. So how can you be two people in one? Bible says, therefore shall a man leave father and mother, cleaving his wife, and they two shall be one. That's a mystery. This is a mystery. But I'm speaking to you concerning Christ and his church. What? I'm a person. Christ, two, become one. Can you explain it? It's hard to explain. Why? It's a mystery. Now let me tell you this. Remember I told you a while ago, Christ in me, the hope of glory? Well, guess what? Not only is he in me, but I'm in him. Now stay in your seat. Don't get excited. Not only is he in me, but when I got saved, I became a member of his body. I got put into Christ. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you just gotta believe the Bible. Let me see where the verse is. Let's see if Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us. Go to that verse. I'm wanting verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you saved. Isn't that good? I can't get that thing to cooperate. I can read faster and get that thing to move. Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. Quickened means to make alive. quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. Watch this. And hath raised us up together. And has raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Guess what? I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm already up there. Where is Christ? He's seated at the right hand of God right now. Guess where I am? I'm up there already in him. That's what Ephesians 2 says. Well, how can I be in him and be down here and he and me? It's a mystery. How's it work? Well, part of me's already up there, but I'm still down here teaching to y'all on Wednesday night, and he's living inside of me right now. But if you were to go up there, sitting at the right hand of God, he's up there and I'm in him. Isn't that something? I know it's a mystery because some of you are going. But ain't it a good mystery? A lot of people have worried about this. There's a verse over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Whether it be Jew, Gentile, bond, or free, makes no difference. And people think every time they see the word baptism, that automatically means back there in the water, baptistry. That ain't what it's talking about. Baptizing is, you can baptize anything. Baptism is immersion. So you baptize, I can baptize that marker in my pocket. No water's involved. So when I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came down here, picked me up, baptized me, put me into, immersed me into Christ. I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into Christ without any water involved. And he's in me down here, and I'm in him up there. Beats me. Isn't that something? That's why it's called a mystery. The mystery of the incarnation. The mystery of Christ in me, the hope of glory. The mystery of Christ and his church. I am a member of his church. Now, yes, I'm a member of this church. This is what we call a local church, right? But you can be a member of this church. You can walk down, shake the preacher's hand, sign the card, go get baptized, and whatever you want to do. And still, it's possible for you still not to be a member of his church. See, people got this backwards. They think, well, I'm going to join a church so I can go to heaven. You can join every church in Dyer County that's going to get you to heaven. You better join his church. You better get in him. Anyway, hope that makes sense. Now, here I'm going to show you another one. Let's see what time it is. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Now, this is a good one. 1 Corinthians 15. And let me show you this one. 1 Corinthians 15. And I'll pull the verse up there that's got the word mystery in it. And it's verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. And this is what it says. Guess what? Behold, I show you a what? A mystery. We should not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Isn't that good? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but all shall be changed. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about the rapture of the church right here. That is a mystery. The rapture of the church. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. All right, guess what? Part of me's already up there, but when I die, they're going to bury me in the ground somewhere. Not sure where. I don't even have a plot. I'm not planning on buying one. I've always worried about driving by a cemetery and seeing my name out there, and I ain't out there yet. So I'm going to let them worry about that after I'm gone, because I don't want to see nothing like that. So anyway, did I? I ain't got time to tell you that. Anyway, there I am. Now, my soul and spirit, when I die, take my last breath. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when I take my last breath, I'm already up here. Remember I told you, right here? Okay. Now, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, trumpet of God. The dead in Christ is going to rise first. And then those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord where? In the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So that's what's going to happen. That's a mystery. Can you explain it? Can't explain it. I did the best I could, but that's what's going to happen. Now, let me explain something else as far as a mystery is concerned. Now, and this I may have to pause right here because there's still, we still got, what, three more? And I don't, anyway. From the cross right here, all the way to the rapture, is called the church age. I know y'all have heard that before, right? I hope you have. We are living in the church age. Now, people in the Old Testament didn't know about us. They didn't know about us. Abraham, Adam, Job, David, Moses, Elijah, all those characters in the Old Testament didn't know anything about us. Didn't see us. Didn't know we existed. Didn't know anything. Have you ever found the word church in the Old Testament? It's not in there. Why? They didn't know nothing about us. Why? It's a mystery. We were... I explain it this way. When Christ came, he came. Now, I don't want to upset you. I don't want to upset you at all. But Christ came to save the nation of Israel. What did the nation of Israel do? That ain't our king. Crucify him. Well, when they crucified him, guess what? That opened the door for us Gentiles. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited on that. That opened the door for us Gentiles to get in. So that's why they didn't know nothing about us. And so everybody in this age right here, what we call the church age, will go up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, everybody that was saved in the Old Testament, this gets a little deep, but anyway, just hang on. Everybody that was saved in this Old Testament won't come up right here. They come up somewhere else. I ain't got time to tell you tonight. But these Old Testament saints, they don't come up right here. Only church age people come up right here. Behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Moment, twinkle of an eye. These guys come up later. The Valley of Dry Bones, if you really want to know. Ezekiel... 47? Anyway, any question about that? So that's why it was a mystery to these people in the Old Testament. They didn't know a thing about it. I'll tell you what the Old Testament saints saw. The Old Testament saints saw, I'll tell you what Isaiah saw. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, this is what Isaiah saw. He said, behold, no, pardon me, Isaiah, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Right? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. What'd he skip over? He skipped over this because he didn't see it. Isaiah, in his own words, for unto us a child is born. He saw that. The Old Testament, they saw the child being born. How do you think the wise men found him? They found him by comparing the book of Daniel and all the Old Testament prophecies. They knew about that. And unto us a son is given. Isaiah 53 will tell you that. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. They knew he was coming to bring a kingdom in. But guess what? He didn't know about this. But I'm glad God knew about this. Because that's where I got in at. Isn't that good? I'm going to stop right there because the next three, I don't want to rush through it. I want to get in, you know, and give you the verses and all that kind of stuff.